the house, mibachutz, and how that relates to lighting the candles in the Beis HaKnesses, the direct correlation between the Beis HaKnesses, and we discussed, just to recap, okay, Rabbi Sai, I just want to recap with something that we discussed, and it'll bring up the point. It's a very, very important point, that the lighting of the candles in the Beis HaKnesses capture the lighting of the Beis HaMikdash. When you light the neros in the house, there is no desire that the candles that you light in the house should be on the southern side. It should be in any particular direction. It should have any resemblance, in fact, to the Beis HaMikdash. When we light candles at home, it is purely a zecher l'neis. We light candles at home. We have all the rules, all the halachas, ma'aseh v'hoylech, peches v'hoylech. We do ma'aseh v'hoylech, of course, and by the Pesach, pirsumei nisa. In the Beis HaKnesses, once already we'll be lighting the candles, we explained yesterday that lighting the Beis HaKnesses really is a fulfillment of, it is an extension of our lighting, because today we do not light b'chutz, we light the neros of Chanukah indoors. We do not generally light b'chutz. The way we are mekayim that the mokum of the neros should be b'chutz is by lighting in the Beis HaKnesses. So to a degree, the hashlama of our personal hadlaka is coming to shul and having answering amen to the bracha of the lighting in the Beis HaKnesses, answering amen and participating in the Beis HaKnesses. This is the hashlama of one's personal lighting of the Ner Chanukah. We said it yesterday, many people will just assume that the Hayaluchud v'Hayaluchud. We lied, the mitzvah is only at home. Shul. No, they lied in shul, it's a minog, even make a bracha. It has nothing to do with me. It's an independent good morning mark. Besorah is tovah. When a person lights, in shul, it's like, you know, Chabad, they light in big centers, they light neros. Has nothing to do with me. I did my mitzvah, I'm done. I'm going to go to shul, maybe, I know, tonight I'm not in, I know we'll have a meeting in the house. I have a Chanukah party, we'll have a meeting in the house, and we'll have a ma'ariv. No, that's not necessarily correct. When a person lights their Chanukah in his bayis, his mitzvah is choser. It's choser. You're lacking something. What are you lacking? Mitzvah ner Chanukah, the mokum l'honicha, b'pesach bayis mi b'chutz. Today there's no b'chutz. As we said yesterday, many reasons why there's no b'chutz. It's windy, it's raining, the menorah will get... We discussed that yesterday. Let's assume both. Let's be very generous. Let's assume both. Jews and Goyim. Today there is no mibachutz, and historically speaking, there almost never was. Why? Because the wind is gonna blow it out. Yinam b'chuyiv, nowhere is there a makar that you're supposed to go but have a glass cage for your menorah. Doesn't say this anywhere. It was never practiced. Such a concept of a glass. It's very nice. People in Eretz Yisrael, it's very common, it appears. But a glass cage, it's going to blow out. It's going to get stolen. There's anti-Semitism. So we don't do it. And the most important reason we spent the whole show on this yesterday is there's no one who appreciates it anyway. Who are you lighting the neros for in the street? Who appreciates the neros? The goyim. Even if there's no sakana, no one's going to steal it. Who are you dealing with today? Who cares? The goyim really care. When the President of the United States, he sends out a message, a happy Hanukkah message, and he writes about the chashmonoyim. Does anyone even take it seriously? Does anyone, what is this? The Jews,
it's not like he wrote it.
Of course he didn't write it. But like, what is this? Who cares? There's no one out there that appreciates, there's no one to be mefarsim the nes to. If a tree falls in the forest and there's no one out there, no living creature to hear the impact of the tree falling, did it make a sound? Okay, the philosophical question. So the answer is, let's now for the moment assume the answer is no. Okay, the whole chakira, go take a course in philosophy. If no one heard the tree fall down, then didn't make a sound. If you're putting the nair outside in the street and there's no one there to appreciate it, even though people pass by, so they see the nair, it doesn't even dawn on what's that. So even unfortunately, even irreligious Jews, or even religious Jews, they're just looking. When I pass by Friday night and I see all beautiful candles lit in the windows, I don't look at the menorah. I look inside the house. I look at the chandelier. I look at the nice artwork they have in the. Wow, they have a nice house. How much this cost, right?
I just want to say something.
Yeah.
I'm an out of towner, and when we first moved to Brooklyn and drive up that Ocean Parkway, where I came from, you didn't see menorahs in the window, electric or any candles or any. And just driving up down Ocean Parkway, seeing all those menorahs in apartment house windows, that was very impressive to me. Now, maybe not anymore.
Okay, Baruch Hashem.
But it was an amazing thing.
Okay, so I take it back. Not totally. Okay, but there is an element of there's something. There's a lack of appreciation. Where are you going to get the full appreciation amongst Amcha, amongst your own people, the Mela, the lighting in the shul? That's where you're going to find the people who appreciate the Nes. So lighting in shul is the hashlama, of your private mitzvah. There's a special inyan to go to shul, to daven ma'ariv in shul on Chanukah. Person doesn't daven ma'ariv the whole year in the Beis HaKnesset, the Beis Tzibor. There's an extra inyan to go to shul, to go to ma'ariv in shul, because there they're going to light the Chanukah menorah, and that is where you'll be able to be mashlim your private mitzvah of l'hanicha b'pesach beisoy mi b'chutz. Okay, that was yesterday. Karabai said that was yesterday. Now we go to part two. We also have to appreciate that once already we're lighting the Chanukah menorah in the Beis HaKnesses, it now takes on a new dimension. And that dimension is the lighting in the Beis HaKnesses is a dogma of the lighting of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a new dimension. And that's why at home there are many people that are makbit, but there is an inyan, no one really does it, is to light lower than 10 tefachim. To put the menorah on a stand that is lower than 10 tefachim, but no such thing in the Beis HaKnesses. In the Beis HaKnesses, it should be high. It should be even yud ches tefachim, doimet to the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because the lighting in the Beis HaKnesses is meant to be equivalent to the lighting of the Beis HaMikdash. For another example, we said yesterday is that you light it on the southern wall. And the other example was this whole Hakpadah, should you light Mimizrach L'mayriv U'mitzafon L'doroim. Okay, I'll give you another example, the Shemen. Today, now this the oil that we use today, what do we use for lighting candles? Many of us use oil. Shemen. Is the oil that we use kosher if there would be a Beis HaMikdash? No, it would not be kosher. Why not? You need for the Beis HaMikdash Shemen Zayis Zoch, which means the first drops of oil that come out of the olives. The oil that we have, the virgin olive oil that we buy today, which is repackaged 10 times over, and someone's making a very handsome profit on what they're doing with the olive oil, which cost them almost nothing, and they go charge $10 for a small bottle. Wow, someone's making a lot of money here. When they import this from different parts of the world, they're paying peanuts. And after repackaging it, it's an incredible, whatever it is. But it's not kosher for the Beis HaMikdash. Why not? Because it's not Shemen, it's not Zoch. In fact, the last time I was in Eretz Yisrael, it was the Hanukkah before COVID, and I was there right before Hanukkah, and already they were selling out in the street, you know, all the, it was ready in, you know, in the shops, they were, you know, they had all the stores were selling all the Hanukkah and stuff. So I was near Mir Yeshiva, and I was very intrigued. It was someone was selling for Hanukkah, Mamish Shemen Zayis Zoch. So there was someone they married to make money. What people do, they actually had all these haskamas and a whole write up, is that you should light with this is oil that would be kosher to use even in the Beis Hamikdash.
If it was done mitahara.
So all the oil that you buy today in the store, no matter where you're going, it's not shaykh. Unless you're buying olives and you're squeezing it yourself. And even then you have to know how to do it. Exactly what the rules are. Not to press it too hard, so whatever it is. And the oil that we have today wouldn't be kosher for the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, you don't have to be perfect, you know. Shemen, you do as close as you possibly can. But this person was selling. He was selling and he had a whole kuntress. It wasn't just Stam, you know, Stam selling with a whole kuntress. Explaining the whole sugya. Also, what is a good learning opportunity? What exactly is Shemen Zayis? What is Shemen Zayis Zoch? For the menorah, you need Zoch. For the menochois, you don't need Zoch. The oil that we have today that you get for Hanukkah, you could probably use to make a mincha in the Beis HaMikdash. A mincha. But it's not Zoch, it's not kosher for the Neiros. So, question, this is a theoretical question. This person was selling it. I didn't buy it, of course. It was outrageous. I don't think anyone was buying it, but it was interesting. It was interesting to see someone to do the research, and someone to actually produce a product that you can call Zoch. If there would be an Inyan to buy it, where would there be an Inyan? L'chora, from everything that I've read over here, it would be for the Beis HaKnesses. For the Beis HaKnesses, there is no real Inyan in your bias, in your home, that it should be mamish, the dogma of the Beis HaMikdash. I'll give you a very important afkin, which I forgot to mention, a very important afkimina, and that is hadlaka oisa mitzvah or hanocha oisa mitzvah? Shulchan Aruch Paskin hadlaka oisa mitzvah, which means that you first put the menorah in the correct position and then you light it. The lighting is going on the bracha that you make, asher kedushanu b'mitzvah, mitzvah l'halik ner shel Chanukah, is on the act of kindling. Let's say you were to light your menorah in a place that no one can see, in a private room, or a locked room, and you would make the bracha, asher kedushanu b'mitzvah l'halik ner shel Chanukah, and then you pick up the menorah while it's lit and bring it to your family into a place where there are people that can see it. Would it be a bracha levatola? Let me give you a better example. If you light it bizman, it's not a bracha levatola no matter what, even if no one sees it. But if you light the menorah past the ikar zman, let's say, like we give these, let's say it's 12 o'clock at night. 12 o'clock at night, there's really no one around. Then at least one person has to see it. So let's say outside, it's not the zman, let's say it's 12 o'clock, and there are a lot of people walking in the streets now. A lot of people. It's 12 o'clock at night. People just finished their Hanukkah party. They're walking home from the Hanukkah party. I light the menorah. I close the windows. Mm-hmm. I close everything. And I'm all alone in the house, and I make a bracha, asher kedushan b'mitzvot for l'halik ner shel Chanukah. And no one can possibly see my hadlaka when I light the menorah. No one can possibly see. It's completely, and I'm the only person at home, and there's no one at home but me, and it's not the Zman. It's not the Zman hadlaka. The Zman hadlaka is a very big range. You can be makel, all different opinions. Let's say the range will go, for argument's sake, from sunset, all the way until, let's say, an hour after say Sakar Chav, very long period of time. You can be makel. You can say, what is the Zman of Hadlaka? Make believe, okay? From sunset all the way an hour after sunset. So, even more. Let's say an hour and a half. Just make believe, an hour and a half after sunset. After that time is over, you're not allowed to make a bracha on lighting your Chanukah menorah if no one's going to see it. You need at least one person to see it. Other than you. If you light during the Zman, no one has to see it. And you can be very generous what you want to call the Zman. But once the Zman is passed, then in order to make a bracha, at least one person besides yourself must see your Hanukkah, your lighting. So let's say you would light the Hanukkah menorah in a place past the Zman where no one can see it. And then you pick up the menorah and you bring it to a place where someone can see it. Is that a bracha levatala? Some can argue, yes, it is. Because we paskin halacha lemaisa, hadlaka oise mitzvah. The mitzvah is the lighting of the menorah, not the positioning of the menorah in a place where people can see it. Now, here's a very big question. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Rambam says, Beferish, Rambam says that Azor, a Yisrael, lichatchila is allowed to light the menorah. Gesundheit. And I think the Rambam himself says, how could it possibly be a Zor can light the menorah? Where was the menorah? The menorah was inside the Heichal. A Yisrael is not allowed to go in there. It is categorically forbidden. So you want to say, so if one takes a very long match, I don't even know if they sell those on Amazon, such long matches, to be able to go from the door all the way there. But the Rambam himself, I think the Rambam himself says the solution. The solution is very simple, that a Kohen brings the menorah outside into the Heichal. He brings the menorah outside into the Azara. A Yisrael can go into the Azara. He brings the menorah outside. The Yisrael lights the menorah in the Azara. And then the Kohen brings it back inside. Why? So here's a very big Yisrael. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, with regard to the kindling of the menorah, Hanocha Oise Mitzvah. When they lit candles in the Beis HaMikdash, the Iker Mitzvah is not the lighting. It should be put in the right location. And that is why the Rambam says a Yisrael is allowed to light the menorah. Because lighting the menorah is not the Iker.
Did they make
a bracha? L'chor they did. I would assume they did. I don't know for sure. L'chor they made a bracha. It's a mitzvah. Very heavy, massively heavy, pure gold, weighed a ton. I guess they had some type. It's all theoretical questions. Theoretically speaking, you can take the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, you can bring it outside into the Heichal, a Yisrael will light it, l'chatchila, and then the Kohen will bring it back into the Heichal and put it into its position. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, it is Hanocha Oise Mitzvah, not Hadlocha. What? So maybe you're arguing that the bracha should not be l'halig ner shel menorah. It should be l'honiach. I don't know the answer. It has to be lit also. You have to light it. The question is, where is it should be positioned? L'mai nafkamina. The nafkamina is in the Beis HaKnesses. When it says in Shulchan Aruch that we light the menorah, the b'halokha is a mitzvah, you have to put the menorah first in position and then light the menorah. That's because that's the halacha for ner ish ubeisun. But when you light the Chanukah menorah in the Beis HaKnesses, you're not lighting it. The rules take on the Beis HaMikdash. It takes on the qualities of the Beis HaMikdash, not of the bayis, in every respect. And that means, that's why there's no idea of putting it less than 10 tefachim, adarabah. It should be high up. The neira should be 18 tefachim lechatchila. We don't makbar on these things anyway. Like in the Beis HaMikdash, it should be b'koysel doroim. It should be lit mimizrach lemayrif or mitzafon ledarim. All based upon all these principles. And here's another nafgamina. In the Beis HaKnesses, there's no din of hadloka oisa mitzvah. In the Beis HaKnesses, if you can't reach it, this happens. Some shuls have there. They put them there high up. I actually saw this happen. I was in the young girls have this problem. They have a very, very big menorah. I can't reach it. Very simple. Take off the neiros. You light the neiros. And then get on the ladder and put the neiros onto the menorah. Oh, but you're not allowed to do that. Hadlaka oise mitzvah. You're supposed to light the neiros after the neiros are positioned, after the neiros are already, although neiros are already positioned on the menorah. You have to light the neros when it's already there, not when it is. Now when it's, right, the neros have to be already on the menorah, and then you light. You don't go take the neros off and light it over here, and then go and put it on because it's more convenient to do so. You don't do that. Yet, in the Beis HaKnesses, it would be permitted. Because the Beis HaKnesses, the lighting of the Beis HaKnesses, is not follow the rules of Ner Ishu Beis. So it follows the rules of the Beis HaMikdash. And in the Beis HaMikdash, there is Hanocha Oysa Mitzvah. And that's why the Rambam says you can take the menorah outside the Heichel, give it to a Yisrael to light, and then the Kohanim will return it into the Beis HaMikdash. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, Hanocha Oysa Mitzvah. Once you're lighting in the Beis HaKnesses, we're lighting the Beis HaKnesses as a hashlama to our Ner Yishu Beisai. But once we already light the Beis HaKnesses, this now becomes a hadloka of the Beis HaMikdash. He quotes over a beautiful Orach Chaim. He cites a Medrash, and the Medrash says is that even though the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and they're no longer korbanos, so instead we have a neshalma fodim sifoseinu. We daven. But the Medrash says, but the Nerois we still do. Even after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the mitzvah of Hadlokas Nerois never went away. That continues even without a Beis HaMikdash. So all the Mepharshim said it's a Medrash Pliya. What do you mean? There's no Beis HaMikdash, no one's lighting candles on the Harabais. What are you talking about? The same way there are no korbanos bizman hazeh, there's no more mitzvah hadlakas neros. No, there is. The Beis HaKnesses. 8 days a year, when they light the Chanukah menorah in the Beis HaKnesses, this is mamish hadlakas neros of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why all of the dinim of halakha in the Beis HaKnesses, it parallels not the way we do it at home. It has its own set of rules of the way it was done in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, this fellow who was making an Eretz Yisrael, this Shemen Zayis Zoch, for an enormous amount of money, and this oil would have been fit to be used even in the Beis HaMikdash, l'chore, it would be a nice thing to buy this oil for a shul. For your home, you don't need it for your home. There's no din in your home. You have to, the mamish should be just like the Beis HaMikdash. Even many will challenge, there's no need at home that you should have even oil candle. Why do you have to have Shemen Zayis? Have candles, wax candles. The Chofetz Chaim, we have testimony, the Chofetz Chaim did not have Shemen Zayis, olive oil for his Chanukah menorah, at least part of his life. The Chofetz Chaim used chelev, fat. Okay, not our wax, not paraffin, not wax. He used fat, chela, forbidden fats. That's all he had. Chofetz Chaim did not use shemen zayis. There's not necessarily a strong requirement to use in your home shemen zayis, because it parallels what was done in the Beis HaMikdash, because the lighting in your home has really very little to do with the Beis HaMikdash. It's a zecher for the nes, but the method of doing it, who says it has to be like the Beis HaMikdash? Who says you have to go by the southern wall and mimizrach l'mayrev? None of that. And including none of that, who says you have to have olive oil? Okay, olive oil is a nice thing. It says beferish shulchanuch kol hashmonim kishedim kol apsilo. It says beferish shulchanuch lemechaber, all types of oil, all types of fuel, all types of wicks are kosher for Chanukah. But the Beis HaKnesses is different, because the Beis HaKnesses, you're trying to imitate the best that you possibly can to make the lighting in the Beis HaKnesses resemble exactly the way it was done in the Beis HaMikdash. So, l'cha'ira, if you can go buy the Shemen Zayis Zoch, the only place where you can justify the expense of such expensive oil would be the Beis HaKnesses. And the Beis HaKnesses, to have it raised to a height of 18 tefachim, if you can figure out what that is exactly, that would be a hiddur. And the Beis HaKnesses, to light on, like we discussed yesterday at length, the southern wall, what that means exactly, and the direction you face, to imitate the Beis HaMikdash, kol hakavod, because that's, the Beis HaKnesses is a kiyum, at least al derech agoda, of mamish, the lighting of the neiros in the Beis Hamikdash bizman hazeh. It is a carryover. And what is the lighting of the neiros? What do Chazal say about the lighting of the neiros? It's edus shehashchina shoyre b'Yisrael. That takes Chanukah to a whole new league. A whole new league to appreciate that the fact that the Ner Maravi was lit, remained lit for a very long time, was Eidus Shehashchina Shoyre b'Yisrael. I never ever heard that there's any inyan of Ner Maravi by the Neiros of Chanukah. Okay, there's no, and so certainly it would have no meaning at home. But in the base, if it's true that in the Beis HaKnesses it parallels the Beis HaMikdash, would there then be an inyan of a Ner Maravi in the Beis HaKnesses? We never heard of such a thing. Okay, that would mean the Ner Maravi would then be either the center net would be then either the seventh night of Chanukah. If there would be such a thing, if you would take this concept to an extreme conclusion, as I'm trying to do with you now, an extreme conclusion is that in the shul, the lighting mamish parallels to a degree the Beis HaKnesses. First of all, that's a very hard thing to sell because we light 8 candles and the menorah in the Beis HaKnesses, and the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash is 7 candles. All right, let's put that aside. We explained the Kosel Marav, the Kosel Doraimi, Mimishach L'Marav, 18 Tzvachim, Hanocho Oysa Mitzvah. If you can't light it in a regular way in the Beis HaKnesses, L'cha'oira, it would conclude, you can take the Neiros out of the menorah, light it down below, and then rise up on a chair and put them there. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, Hanocha is a mitzvah. If you can afford to buy Shemen Zayizach, L'cha'oira would be interesting. Would you go so far to say that there is an inyan of the Ner Ma'aravi? Now, Ner Ma'aravi would have to be, by the way, on the Ner that's on the west, I don't know, this is already patching way too far, going a little bit off the deep end. All right, let's put that aside. Let's now go to another topic. Let's talk about the Shita of the Maral. In honor of Menachem Sperling, Achayim Berliner, the day after the Yahrzeit of Rav Chutner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who had a Chibur Yisera for the Maral Miprag, the Maral Miprag, so there's a tremendous halachic psak from the Maral Miprag that he campaigned for. The Maral Miprag, he campaigned. He sent the goylem to your house if you didn't listen to him. Okay, and the historians tell us that he failed, that it was not accepted. It was not accepted privately, but it was accepted in Prague, in the shul. He won the day in shul. The Maral Miprag is a tremendous chiddush, and all of the poskim cite it. They all talk about it. Even the Mishnah Berurah and the Shaar Tzion, he brings down from the Machs HaShekel, many of the Gedolim, they discuss this. It's an interesting concept, but it's Shaloi Kehalacha, we don't accept it. The Maral holds that a wax candle is mamash posel for Ner Chanukah. Why? He writes the words, a wax candle, or a candle, well, like a wax candle, we'll explain in a moment what I mean, it's an avuka. It's called a torch. Now, we understand, not like the Maral, that an avuka is only, to be called an avuka, you need 2 wicks, 2 pisilois burning together. Together. That creates what we call halacha lemaisa an avuka, a torch. A ner Chanukah must be a single ner, not an avuka. Anything that's an avuka is no good. The Maral holds, la halacha, that a single candle can also be called an avuka here's the criteria to understand why. If at the end of the day, the wick is completely burnt. In other words, what exactly is the difference between a wax candle and a ner shel shemen? A ner shel shemen, the pesila only burns on top. The wick is a tsinor. It's a pipe. It's a conduit. It is shoyev. You have a receptacle. You have liquid oil, or even if it's congealed, it will melt eventually, and it is drawn, the oil, the fuel is drawn up through the wick, and that's why the wick has to be, you know, very sensitive material, and it burns on top. You look at someone who knows what they're doing, you see there's a glass jar, and you see the fire is burning on top, and the jar is already half empty, and the oil is being pulled through the cotton, or through whatever material you're using as a wick. It's been pulled up, and it illuminates on the very, very top. That is called a ner. A wax candle, as it burns, the wick goes down. The wick is not, the wick is not being used to pull the fuel upwards. The wick, the fire goes down to where the fuel is. I know you'll tell me scientifically there's a little bit of she'iva, but what's nearer le'inayim, to the naked eye. To the naked eye, a wax candle, when the candle burns out, there's no more wick. The wick is gone. A shemen zayis, when the oil runs out, you have the wick. Theoretically, if you want, you can use it tomorrow night. You don't do that. Even the mikdash, they didn't do that. They replaced the wick entirely. It's already used up. But the wick is there. A wax candle, as it goes down, as it burns, it the wick burns, and it goes down to where the fuel is, because that's the nature of wax, of chalev, of any material. So this is the morale holds that such, it's an incredible chiddush of what he holds that's called an avuka. An avuka is where the fire has complete shalita, is in control over the fuel. When you light a wax candle, you're lighting the whole candle in one shot. When you light a ner shel shemen, I'm lighting the top. The oil is coming up to me. The fire does not have shalita, does not have control over the fuel. The fire is subject to the goodwill, to the goodwill of the fuel, that the fuel is willing to rise, to be drawn, the mercy, being willing to rise through the wick to the surface and then be consumed by the fire. A wax candle, the fire, I'm the boss. You guys over here, the wax, the paraffin, whatever you ever congealed item you're using, it's completely, it's this is an avuka. I'm shoylate over the fuel. I'm going to come down and wipe you all out. That is the morale hold. That is called an avuka, pella. The Maral held this very strongly to be correct, and he campaigned, according to what he writes over here in this beautiful Sefer Oitz Machmadim, that everyone should not use wax for Chanukah. The Chanukah neiros, you need a ner. Ner ish ubeisoy. We have the Gemara says a ner, not an avuka. As the Gemara talks about, an avuka is no good, if I'm not mistaken. An avuka is no good, and you're not allowed to use any type of fuel that is congealed, because what would the morale say about today, the glass cups, those little glass cups that they sell in the store, which is wax, which is oil with a gel. So I don't know. The what about floating wicks? It's interesting. Floating wicks. The whole world uses them. There are some people that don't want to use them. I mean, why not? What was the reason why? Someone once told me some interesting lumdus. That's another problem. The gel, so it's not pure olive oil. They didn't use gel in the Beis HaMikdash.
The clothing wicks, people have found because they're coated with wax.
What? They're coated with wax?
There's
a little coating of wax. So. That's a very, very weak, thing to say. Because so with this wax, so what? That's not how they did the Beis HaMikdash.
You're lighting the wax, you're not lighting the wick.
Goes together. It's okay, all right. All right. I hear what you say. So they can for another few dollars. They can't make it. They'll take off the wax on the very, very top.
There's another problem that these are a whole bunch of strands in here.
It's always like that.
No, the old days.
Yeah.
Some of us are from the old days. We used to take the
wax. I remember.
We didn't take the wicks that were made from a whole bunch of thin strands.
I understand. But whatever. Okay. Halacha lemaisa, puk chazi mama advar. The whole world, they use the floating wicks. No one has any problem with it.
There are people still making.
They are, but you have to know what you're doing. If you don't know what you're doing, then the whole house is going to smell from oil. You have to know how to do it, and it also will go out, not go out, it'll be dangerous. You have to know how to do it. You have to be a mumcha to make your own cotton wicks. But there, the whole world uses the gel. The whole world uses the floating wicks.
The stores, they sell.
What?
In those packages where you buy all your wicks.
Yeah.
If you look like there's one, it's a tool that would sell it.
In the floating wicks?
You can use it in that thing or whatever.
So a lot of
I tried them. It doesn't work well. I tried everything.
A lot of the
cotton. A what?
Synthetic.
Not real cotton. When we were kids,
real cotton.
Came from the medicine bottle.
It was a red cross box.
All right, there's a lot of chachma. There's a lot of chachma in this. I once, many, many years, I once had a lot of time, a paramaniac. I spent a lot of time to try to really do it well. And the techniques that I came up with, one thing always happened. If I got something to work good after the technique, tried a lot of techniques, the whole house smelled from oil. And it's a problem.
Which oil did you use?
Regular oil.
You can go now. You have different types of oils that they sell. And there's certain oils that I was getting black smoke. And
right.
That's because you didn't get there's a light version. There's different.
Okay, levels. I didn't know that. That I didn't know,
and
that part.
$12.99 a bottle, it's $16.99 a bottle, whatever it is. But it's,
and it doesn't cause the black smoke.
That black smoke.
1040 is
the best. All right, there's a lot of chachma behind this. You really need a real mumcha to explain to you the science behind this. But this is a tremendous chidush from the Maral. Halacha lemaisa. We don't pass like the Maral. And what he writes over here is that they have records that even though he tried to convince everyone in his community, everyone in Prague, they lit wax candles. They didn't listen to him. They didn't listen, but in the shul, in the Beis HaKnesses in Prague, they listened. He won the day in the Beis HaKnesses, and there they did not light the wax. They listened, they lit in the shul, they lit from oil. As he held, and okay, so this is very. But what we did allude to is, I find in the hashkaf of what the Maral says something very, very interesting. He brings out this concept is that when you light a ner, lahalois ner tam. The word lahalois means to bring up. When you light with oil, and wicks, cotton wicks. It's just something to pay attention to. He brings out this point is that the wick is a tsinor, it is a tube, and the oar is on top, the fuel is on the bottom, and the wick is a tsinor. You're drawing upwards. A ner, the concept of a ner is to, we look at ner, oh, ner lekim nishma sada. A ner is illumination, it's a light, it's fire, you can't touch it, it's spiritual, it's not tangible. There's a new dimension. The Maral brings out this point. The koyach of hadlokas neros is an activity of going up. Not just that the fire goes up. Even the gashmias goes up. The gashmias is that the shemen is being nimshach to a place that's on high. The or is like the shechina. The shemen is us. We're down here. Shemen sosoy mechaverecha. And the ner and the psila is an activity of rising up. The shemen is being pulled up to the mokoim of the kedusha. The Maral held a wax candle. That concept doesn't exist. the type, I don't know the whole science in the ego, but by a regular candle, what kind of wick are they using? The wick that they're using in a regular candle does not need to be something which fuel needs to flow through. Because since that wick is mamish right up against the fuel itself, it just needs to burn. It doesn't need to have a property or quality where it will flow. It will flow freely because it is going down. Here's the fuel. This is the fuel. And there's something that's burning. And it doesn't need to last very long. It just needs to last long enough to consume the fuel in its vicinity. And then as that fuel is consumed, it goes down. And there's a new wick that will burn. It's not an activity of where shemen fuel is being nimshach upwards towards a higher place. It's an incredible idea. It's a hashkafic concept. Okay, halacha l'maisa, the moral holds that this concept passels a regular nair. It's an avuka. We don't accept that. No one accepts it. The Mishnah Berurah rejects it. The Machzah Shekel quotes it. The Machzah Shekel rejects it. The Mishnah Berurah and the Shaar HaTzion, he cites and he says that he basically says we don't pass like this. It's kosher. The Mechaber says kol hashman mapsilos kshedim. Everything is good. The Chofetz Chaim himself used chelef, something which according to the morale would be possible. But in concept, it's a very beautiful concept. To appreciate the concept of the nair of the Beis HaMikdash is the or, the shemen, and the koyach hamshocha through the tzinor of this psila. Okay, next.
Rabbi,
yeah.
About the wax, you mentioned wax. Someone showed me this morning a safety thing about wax candles and a tube like a bird's eye glass, whatever it is. Never throw water on the burning.
Sure, makes the fire go on.
Loads, sure.
Never put water on a wax candle. It's dangerous. Don't try to extinguish it by pouring water. It's sakana. It's a very big. Safety first. Be extremely careful with fire. Extremely careful. All right, let's talk about the chiyuv. Let's make sure I got all everyone's over here. Okay, interesting shaila. Does the shamash, is there an inyan that the shamash should also be shemen zayis? When you light the neros, you can't light the neros with what are they doing in the Beis HaMikdash exactly? Okay, how are they doing in the Beis HaMikdash? How do you light one candle? Make the bracha. Do you light the shamash first? Do you light the shamash? Do you light your shamash before you light the neros? After?
Where did they keep the shamash?
In the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't have a shamash. In the Beis HaMikdash, well, the truth is you don't need a shamash. The only way, Me'ikar Hadin, you don't need to have a shamash. Me'ikar Hadin, there is no need to have a shamash on your Chanukah menorah. You only need to light one air. You only need to have one air, Neri Yeshubesai. When do you need a shamash according to the Ikar Hadin? In one of two situations. Either as a hakara, that b'shas ha-sakana, you have to put the ner al shulchonoi v'dayoi. Okay, yeah, you don't put it out. So if you're putting the ner chanuk on your dining room table, let's have a tea light. It could happen today. You have a tea light. Person, you only have a chanuk candles. So you put the tea light on the dining room table. You go into a restaurant, they put tea lights also on the table. Okay, you go to a restaurant, they have tea lights and to make the ambiance. They have tea lights all over the place. So you have in your house, you have a very nice house, you know, set up, and you have tea lights all over the place. It's Chanukah. The only kilns I have are tea lights. And I don't want to go put it outside. The Meshugoyim out there, who knows, they don't want to. So you know, I'm going to go put it on my dining room table like it says in Shulchan Aruch. Take your tea light, you put it and you light it. Yeah, and all the other tables, there are tea lights. So someone that walks in, is this, oh, just another tea light. If you're ever lighting it in such a fashion where it looks like it's just a regular form of illumination, then you have a chiv to have another light to indicate that this is like a simon, that this is a ner shel mitzvah. That's one reason why you would need an Ashna. Another reason is just in case Chas v'Shalom you want to be Nene. Now everyone knows that reason. That's probably the more basic reason. You're not allowed to derive benefit from the Neirus of Hanukkah. Ha'Neirus halalu kodeshem. Ein lanu rishos lehishtamesh v'am. Elo l'roisam bilvad. You're not allowed to derive benefit. Let's say someone by mistake, he forgets and he derives benefit, it's a serious violation. So what do? You light another ner of chol. So just in case you derive benefit, you could attribute the benefit to the ner shel chol. There's another reason, a third reason, and that is an odom choshuv. It says in the Gemara, if a person is an odom choshuv, a very distinguished person, so then he needs to have another ner, because an Adam Chashuv always has a Ner lit before him. In other words, a regular person, you save money. You're not going to go to light candles for no reason. If there's a candle lit on your dining room table, it can only be a Ner Shel Mitzvah. Assuming, okay, let's assume that case. But an Adam Chashuv anyway has Ner lit in front of him. So an Adam Chashuv would be suspected that he did not like Ner Chanukah, because an Adam Choshev, even an unusual circumstance, would have Ner. So in order for the Adam Choshev to show that this is not an ordinary candle that's just lit over here for the purpose of illumination, Adam Choshev, he lights an additional candle to indicate that it's a Ner Shel Mitzvah. Yeah?
Ugh.
And then the rabbi took off. He fooled him. He fooled him and shouldn't make a bracha about
the
like.
It's the most important
thing. No, that's not the most one. It's a simon. Yeah. It's a simon. An Adam Choshev, I forgot the one. An Adam Choshev has a problem because he anyway has Neroy slit in front of him. Oh no! Well, that's a Jewish. Why today we all light in there a shamash? Because taka ain't a chanami. That's a Jewish. That's what I wanted to say. But generally, no, there are chashuv, not chashuvim. Costs money to light extra candles. Only an Adam Choshev needs an extra ner, because if he's lighting in a certain situation, you would not attribute the ner to be a ner shel mitzvah. So you light another ner as a simon. Why there are two neros? Oh, it must be that this is the Ner Shel Mitzvah of Adam Choshev. Exactly as Rabbi Neiman said, today the Minhag Yisrael is every yukkel. Every single person in Klal Yisrael lights a shamash. He'll ask the average person why? Because also lehishtamesh bohem. In case I want to go see what's doing, I want to check for my money in my pocket. See, well, I want to be nene from the R, so I'm using the. It shouldn't be nichshol in also lehishtamesh bohem. But the truth is, there are other reasons. Bizman hazeh, it's a reminder that we're all in a matzav of sakana. B'shas ha-sakana, when you put the ner on shulchanoi, how do you know that this is a ner shulchanoga? Maybe just regular illumination. Oh, when there's sakana, then you talk, have to do extra to indicate that it's a ner shul mitzvah. It's a carryover that don't ever forget. You live in Golos, halacha biyodua, he, she'esav soyna Yaakov. Every time we light a Chanukah candle, no matter where we light it, even in the street, uveshasa sakana, manichoy al shulchanoi v'dayoy, but light another ner to indicate that this is a ner shel mitzvah. It's not a ner. It's not just illumination. It's shasa sakana. You need it there. And also, every person today is an adam choshuv. Okay, now let's. But the question is.
The
male
that lights the candles,
yes, the regular one, the ner that you use.
I don't have to.
Yes, you can extinguish. Yes. The way most of us typically do it is all of our neros are shemen, including the shamash. That's how everyone, you light up, let's say it's the third at Hanukkah, you're going to put four cups into your Chanukiah. Three for the Neros and one for the Shamash. The Shamash can be exactly like the other Neros. The only difference is the location. How are you going to light all four? With a wax candle. So the wax candle, what's the Shamash? Is the Shamash the wax candle that you're going to use to light, or is the Shamash the one that you set aside? So they're both a Shamash, but the Shamash that you use to light, you're going to extinguish. You can blow out. That's the way we do it. When should you light the Nair that you designate as the Shamash? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Some people light it. I looked at it once a long time. Some people, they light it before they start, and some light it after they do the three Nairos. After do the three Nairos, and after they say they finish, either when they're saying Haneris Lolo, then you can light. Then you light that fourth Nair as the Nair that's called the Shamash. You can either before or after, but the wax candle that you're going to use to light, that you can blow out. Can you use a match? Does it have to be dafka, a candle? Can it be a match? L'chayr can be a match also. Is there a din that a ner should light a ner? That you should use...
A gas stick.
What are those, a match lighter. A cigarette lighter. Can you use a cigarette lighter to light the candles? Can you use a match? Is there an inyan to bedavka use a ner? A ner which we use wax with psila. How come no one came up with the business idea they should have oil candles? Mark, you want to go into business? Oil, it should be like a candle which you can move from place to place, and it should have inside oil and a wick. And that way when you light your candle, when you light your neros, you'll be lighting the Neros of Chanukah with Shemen Zayis with a psila. Just like, you never saw this. I never ever saw anyone light the Neros. Why is there no reason? What did they do in the Beis HaMikdash? How did they do in the Beis HaMikdash? Okay, it's a little bit of a mystery. Question is there any, now what we do though is that we do remain lit, we are allowed to remain lit, another candle. It used to be in the olden days, is that you would light the Neros with a wax candle, and when you finished on, you would take that wax and you would put it into the Shamash holder. Anyone remember doing that?
The candles, for that reason.
Well, those are when it's wax, everything is wax. But today, when people are using oil, it used to be in the old days, I remember doing this, you have oil, so you light, let's say it's the third night of Hanukkah, so you put in three settings, however you want to do. We used to fill up the metal with oil until they came along with these glass cups. We used to fill up the metal with oil. You set up three cups, and then you take a wax candle and you light the wax candle, and then you make the brachas and you light the three oil candles. And then when you finish, you take the wax candle and you stick it into the holder of the Shamash. Is that what we used to do?
Yes.
You do it now? Okay, good. You do it now. Today we became a new from world. No. The Shamash also has to be oil. It's not good enough that the Shamash should be a wax candle. The same way my Neros...
It should last the same time as the other.
Okay, well, the wax candle will also last the same. It'll last even longer. It should, because it should be nene. If you're going to be nene from the R, so you should be nene from the wax candle. So, for some reason today, people have taken upon themselves that the Shamash should be the same as the other Neros.
It's not practical. And then,
what?
You can't light with it. You can't
turn it sideways. Right. Okay, but why can't you take your wax candle and put it into the placeholder of the Shamash?
It doesn't fit.
It's going to fall. Everyone has an excuse why they don't take the wax candle and put it into the placeholder on the menorah for the Shamash. Instead, what is everyone doing today? Everyone today is doing the same thing. They're putting in the menorah for the Neros oil, and they're also doing the identical thing for the Shamash. And then they're lighting, when they make the bracha, they're lighting with a wax candle, and when they finish, you blow it out. And what are you left with? It's the third night of Hanukkah. You're left with three candles, oil, and you're left with in the Shamash also oil. And you lit that either before you started the whole thing or you lit it after you finished the whole mitzvah. Why? Why are people, why is not a question? People do things for crazy reasons. Is there an inyan? Is there a hidur? People will tell you that we light with oil as a hidur. You can't argue with that. Even though you can question it, you can question, is there really an inyan in your home to use specifically shemen zayis? We mentioned before that the only of shemen zayis only in the Beis HaKnesses, not necessarily at home. Okay, but you can't argue because Chazal talked about, the Ramo says, beferish, shemen zayis is the best. Ramo writes, that's the inyan, you would be like the Beis HaMish, you can't fight with that. But the question is, what is that? All, does that also apply to the shamash? It doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that there is a hidur that your shamash also should have shemen zayis with a psila. Is there an inyan? So the truth is, yes and no. Okay, in the svarim, the makoros that are more al derech nigle, there is no inyan. You don't need it all together.
Same
as
the
other ones, should say
the bracha
after that,
before the real
candles,
not with the shamash.
It's machloikis.
Some said that
they
use.
Some said that
when you make the
bracha,
don't light the shamash first.
Don't light the shamash first. Don't light it first. But when you finish lighting the other three, they make bracha. So the truth is, this is the machloikis. And the machlokes really centers on how much credit you give to the shamash. The shamash, there's a pasuk says, I forgot the pasuk. I forgot the pasuk. In fact, many hold that the ideal location for the shamash, it should be positioned above. You have to talk to the designer of your Chanukiah.
Are you allowed to have Hanukkah from that light?
Yes. You are allowed to have Hanukkah. So there are opinions that say that the Shamash, this is more, if you go derech pshat, derech teras nigle, the Shamash, mincha today, the earliest man mincha today is?
12:14.
Okay, so we have 11 minutes, less than 11 minutes to go. The shamash, derech hanigle, the shamash has really no sanctity at all. At all. It is there for technical reasons. We explained the technical reasons, but it has absolutely no sanctity. And therefore, it doesn't matter if it's wax, it doesn't matter where it is, where it's located on the menorah. It should be there just as an indicator that this is Neir Shel Mitzvah, or just in case you derive benefit, it should not be a violation of halacha. However, even though that is really what it says in all of the Sefarim and the Gemara and the Chazal and the Rishonim of Al Derech and Nigle, those Chanukahs, a lot of Sefarim of Kabbalistic Sefarim, and in the Sefarim of the Derech and Nistar, okay, in the Sefarim, of the that go with Derech HaNistar, Serafim, they quote the Pasuk, Serafim Oimdim Mimahaloi. They quote this Pasuk. The Serafim, Saraf, is a reference to the Shamash. The Shamash is a servant. The Shamash is the one that lit the candles. It does have sanctity. And it does have sanctity, it should be no less than the items that it serves. If the Shamash is serving, is igniting, is representing the other members of the menorah, it's a representative, it is a servant, it should be treated with dignity, and it should be given all of the amenities of those that it serves. You know, when I went to the Aguda convention, so I was working, you know, working with the technical team, and our booth where all the wires were connected was right alongside the kitchen. So every so often I would go out for a break, not into the main hall, I'll go out, and I went where the workers were, the kitchen staff was. And I saw in the kitchen I saw all of the waiters when it was all over, they sat down and had a delicious meal. They had all the leftovers. And they were eating the same food that people paid $2,100 to have. Okay, a ticket for a couple costs $2,100, and the waiters, I saw my own eyes when it was all over, they had dinner. And the dinner they had was exactly the same food that every person that was there was served. So the people that are servants, now that's just probably because practically I get rid of the food, but the servants get the same amenities as the people whom they serve. If the Neir Shel Chanukah have sanctity, and the sanctity is being given to them by the Shamash, then the Shamash deserves respect. And Al Pi Kabbalah, not everyone does this, years ago no one did this, that you give the Shamash the same dignity. The Shamash is oil with a psila, and it's whatever you do for the regular candles, you do for the Shamash. Unfortunately, it's not practical today to take the Shamash and actually use it practically as a means to light the other candles, which is a problem, you should know. Because you would assume that if the purpose of the Shamash is actually to light, I'm surprised no one came along yet and came up with a technique or a device, I'm sure there's a lot of money to make on this, is where you can have a wax, you can have an oil, an insert in the oil glass on the top, where it can, you have a wick, a cotton wick, an extension, and you'll be able to turn it azoy and azoy, and you can use it to actually light the other neiros.
It's simple. Just have that metal thing at the bottom of you.
So you go try it. You report back to us. We'll give you 8 days. And you'll report back to us your success in actually using actually. For some reason, it seems a little bit strange that we use another shamash, a wax candle, to light all of the neiros, and then we light a shamash. So the shamash is not being used, the shamash that we use to light the candles, we extinguish. Goodbye. Thank you very much for your services, Mr. Shamash. You've been very kind. You have been the instrument which has enabled us to fulfill this mitzvah. Goodbye. Thank you for joining us. We blow you out. And then we replace it with a different shamash. And it stands there as a zecher, yeah.
It would make sense to light the shamash first and make the brachos. And if you're using a candle, you can light the first one in case the one which you're using to light the candle is
a correct. Okay, that's a nice svara. Okay. Okay, that's, okay.
Is there any Indian
Oh, so good. I don't know the answer. Is there anything wrong with using a cigarette lighter? There's no wick. There's no resemblance to a nair, a match. A match. A match doesn't. There's no. You know. It has to be. Look at the world. I didn't see anything inside. I didn't study it to any great depth, but the world doesn't do that. The minhag ha'olam is to light the neiros Chanukah with a candle. You never saw people lighting the neiros Chanukah under ordinary circumstances with a cigarette lighter. You don't see people lighting with matches. You don't see this, it's not done. Obviously, there must be an inyan that you light a neir with a neir. If that's the case, what are they doing in time of Chazal? Let's just go back and study history. What did our great-great-great-grandparents do? What did they do? How did they light? What did they do in the Beis HaMikdash? What did they do? They used LEDs back then.
I think they used the match.
In the Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah, they used the stick.
They used the coal. They took the
Gemara says, the Gemara discussed that in the Beis HaMikdash they lit one ner from another ner. And the Shiloh was, are you allowed to do that? Is one ner in the menorah allowed? And the Gemara, the Rashis, they take the wick. They have all the nairs of the menorah, the base time is the menorah, and the menorah, like taking the nair and basically taking the wick, pulling out the wick, expanding it, and having the wick while it's lit, that's part of one nair, light another nair. So we don't do that. We don't light today from one nair to another nair. But what did our ancestors do? Did they light with a wax candle? Did they light with another nair that was oil and just somehow manipulate one to the next? I have no idea. What do we see people doing today? People today they use a wax candle to light all of the other neros, and then they blow it out. That's what the minhag olam is today. You don't see people today lighting with matches and lighting with cigarette lighters. You don't see that. You don't see people doing that. So maybe you'll tell me it's bizui mitzvah. Maybe some will argue, really, lichatchila, you can do it. It's a bizoyan. A candle is more, has more covered. Is that the reason? Or maybe it's halacha. Maybe halacha demands that you have a ner. A ner should light a ner. If that's the case, wouldn't it not be nice that the ner, that lights the ner, should remain for the entire service? It shouldn't leave. You use a candle to light all the other neros. You should put that ner as your shamish. Why do you want to replace it with an oil, with a little glass cup with oil? Is it dangerous? Is that the problem? Maybe. There's an element of danger. But if this all this is true, it's hard to understand why we have not, such brilliant people, have devised a method where we can have an oil shamish and use the oil shamish to light all the other neros.
They have a different reason not to use the lighter or the other one. That's because you have to do the lighting, because you're detached. When you have a wick and you're holding a candle and you're holding the oil, and you are lighting the other candle. But if it was his flamethrower or the lighter, it's hard to say.
All right, sorry, Chien, time for Mincha.